few weeks ago, our churches across the nation, not just Baptist churches, but churches all across the nation celebrated the Sanctity of Life Sunday as the anniversary of Roe versus Wade occurred in January. And we had a lot going on over the last several weeks with the school and starting a new series, and really wasn't able to speak to that. And I just wanted to affirm that we do believe in the sanctity of life. We value life at the beginning. I was reminded of that this week as we had two new little ones born in the life of this church. And 11 years ago today, our oldest granddaughter, Evie, had her birth here in CAPE and celebrating that. But also, we value the end of life. And I was reminded of that this week as I made a quick trip to Dallas to see my parents and my mom. In the latter months, maybe longer, we don't know, but just a reminder of what it takes to care for individuals who are in those stages of life, how important that is, that they have value, and we should treat them in that way. But a lot of us, sometimes we question whether or not God values our lives between the beginning and the end. We're going through things in life. We are having financial problems, death in families, crises, relational issues, what's going on at work, all the other things that we experience in life. And that's all relative. Some may see it as less serious or more serious. But sometimes we ask God, where are you? What's going on? Do you value me? Have you forgotten about me? And we're going to see a story today in Mark's account of a woman who probably had that question in her mind as she desperately reached out to Jesus Christ. And by doing so, she experienced his incredible power and his love in her life. And I pray that that will happen today for you, or maybe somebody that you know that you can help communicate this story to them. Now, if you will, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. That's where we're going to be. For those who are guests, we're going through a series through the book of Mark, and we're highlighting specific passages where Mark gives us unique insight about the life of Christ and about who he is and how Mark is trying to help us understand God's purpose through the life of Christ. And if you'll notice that at the end of chapter 4, we find that Mark makes it very clear that Jesus has authority over the earth, over nature. We see that he is on a boat. He's asleep in the bottom of the boat, and the storm comes. And there's only one thing I want to mention there, is that if you'll notice, the storm never disturbed Jesus, but the unbelief of disciples did. The storm never woke him up. They were panic-stricken. Jesus was sound asleep at rest. But he was disturbed by the unbelief, the lack of faith by his disciples. Then you'll notice at the beginning of chapter 5 that Jesus, Mark makes sure that we understand that Mark has Jesus has authority over demons, over Satan, over the evil spiritual forces that are at work, as Paul would describe that in Ephesians 6. You know, there are a lot of people who debate the reality of evil, the reality of Satan. Now, we may say that, yeah, bad things happen, but as far as Satan personified or demons personified, we may doubt that and question that, but all Jesus makes that very clear. And Mark makes us aware of that Jesus has authority. This is the story of what some call the demoniac. It's a man who is possessed by an evil spirit, as the Bible describes it. He's living among the tombs. He's out of his head. He is crying all day and all night, the Bible says. And then Jesus encounters him, asks him his name. He says his name is Legion, which means that we are many. And so this man is possessed by several demons. And so they request, the Legion, the demoniac, asks Jesus, please cast us into the pigs, 2,000 pigs that were there. And so that's what happens. And they go off the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee into the sea, and they drown. But Jesus now helps us understand, Mark helps us understand, that Jesus has authority over sickness and death. And that's the passage I want to talk about today. Mark chapter 5, I want to begin in verse 21. When Jesus had crossed over again by a boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and kept begging him, "My little daughter is at death's door. Come and lay your hands on her so she can get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his robe. For she said, "If I can just touch his robes, I'll be made well." Instantly, there's that word, can be translated immediately. Mark uses that. Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was cured of her affliction. At once, there's that word again, Jesus realized in himself that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my robes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" So he was looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came with fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be free from your affliction." Well, the story continues about Jairus' daughter, as we heard a few minutes ago. Now, there's several things I want you to notice about this woman who is like many of us. She's facing a crisis, an issue in her life, a problem, and she has done all that she knows to do, and she reaches out to Jesus. And I believe that there are several in this room who need to do that very thing today. And you need to be reminded who he is and what he can do for you in the circumstance that you're in. I want you to notice, first of all, that her touch was the touch of hope. We see a woman who has this great suffering, and she's sick for 12 years. Mark says that she exhausted all her resources. He explains that she had seen many doctors, that she spent all that she had and had nothing else to cling to. That she had a hold of, she let go, hoping that something would help her. There are many here today, you're clinging on to something that you believe is going to help you, and God is putting you into a position where you're finally going to have to exhaust all those resources, letting go of all that you have, in order to reach out with that touch of hope. And notice she had nothing else to cling to until, as Mark says, having heard about Jesus. Now, there are two things here that you need to notice: that she had a great need, and that she had heard about a great Savior. In other words, someone told her about Jesus. Someone told her that she could find help. Now, we've been talking about having, and we've challenged you to have 5 spiritual conversations by the end of March. Well, how are you doing? How are those spiritual conversations going? They can be in a variety of ways. Someone told me this morning very early that they were at one of the stores, and the cashier was there, and asked about if, whether or not she went to church. And in the conversation, she found out that she did go to church, that she was a strong believer, and that she was a relative of somebody here that used to be a member of our church until she passed away many years ago. If y'all remember Dorothy Dudley, the first secretary I had. We had one secretary in that day. We have several now. And so it was a very positive conversation, but at least she took that step of faith and had that spiritual conversation. When I was in Dallas a few weeks ago, my sister and I and my daughter, Alyssa, we had to go from point A to point B, and we had a car issue, and she said, "Well, let's just call Uber, and we'll go, you know, find it." Well, I'm not too hot on Uber. I'm still trying to figure that out. And I'll tell you why. I was in Minsk in Belarus, and while Gabe and his team were traveling the country, they were all together, I was by myself. And there were times that Dima would say, "Hey, I'm going to call Uber, and we're going to take from the hotel across town." "And you're going to do what? I mean, you're going to let me get in a car with a guy who doesn't speak English?" And so I told Dima when I got in the car, "Tell my wife I love her. I'll see you later," you know. And so I don't know. But in Dallas, we began a conversation. "Do you go to church anywhere?" And man, immediately, "Yes, I do." And he's a very strong believer in Christ. And so God is only asking us to take that step of having that conversation of telling somebody about Jesus. Why? Because many of those are just like this woman in this story. They're like you at one point in your life when somebody told you about Jesus. And he's totally changed your life. He's made you well. And there are those who need to hear that good news. They need to experience that hope. Have you heard about Jesus? Well, if not, hang on. I'm going to tell you a little bit about more about who he is. Notice, secondly, not only was it a touch of hope, but it was a touch of courage. In verse 28, Mark says, "For she said, if I can just touch his robes, I'll be made well." Now, Luke chapter 8 is the parallel story. Remember that when we read a story in Luke, more than likely that story is also in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or all of them, or a part of them. And so it's good to cross-reference because you'll pick up nuances. It's the same story, but it's just told through the personality. And that's the beauty about how God has inspired his word, that he has used the personality and the experiences of those who are writing to give us the point that God wants to make through that individual writer. And so that's what we're getting from Mark. Luke gives us a different perspective. The Bible says, from Luke's perspective, she touched the tassel of his robe. So what does that mean? Well, she touched the robe, but she also touched the tassel that's on the robe. Now, what is that about? Well, in Numbers chapter 15, verse 37, we find that God tells the Israelites that they are to wear this garment. Deuteronomy says it is a square garment, and it has a tassel at each of the corner, the four corners. It would be somewhat like a large scarf or a large shawl that you would put around and wear. And God told the Israelites, when you see that tassel, by the way, each tassel had a blue thread that ran through it, a blue cord. And that is the symbol of divinity or royalty. And so when he says, I want you to look at that robe, that tassel. And when you see the tassel, that it will remind you, in essence, of who you are, that you belong to me, and that you're to obey all of my commands. So all the Jews wore this type of garment, whether male or female. It wasn't just for the priests or the religious leaders. So all throughout Israel, they would wear this. So they all knew what this was. When they saw Jesus wearing this particular garment with those tassels, they knew why he was wearing that if they were a Jew. And she knew that as well. And so it was very significant that she thought, well, I may not be able to get to him, but if I can just touch that tassel, that maybe somehow I will be blessed, I will be healed with that. Now, what did that mean? It meant that hope turned to courage. She made her way to Jesus, and she did something that was very unusual. She touched him. She touched him. Now, why was that so unusual? Well, first of all, she was unclean. And the law said that she could not touch anyone if she was unclean. She also touched a man, which was not kosher in that day, that you don't touch a man as a woman. The Levitical law said that she had to be segregated for health reasons. Tradition says that it was a sign of morality. When I say tradition, that means they had interpretations of the law, thousands. It wasn't just the law that was important, it was the interpretation. And many Jews regarded the tradition as more important than the law, as is in this case. And the tradition said that the reason she was in this condition was because of immorality, when the law never said that. Now, there's a whole other sermon right there. We need to be very careful what we think is inspired by God and what is not inspired by God. What is inspired is the Word of God. And we need to follow what God has given us. Now, we sometimes are trying to interpret what it means, but that's not inspired by Scripture. We need to be careful what we add to Scripture or what we take away from Scripture. So all this led to possibly excommunication. It could lead to divorce. It could lead to isolation. It could lead to false accusations. She didn't care. She humbled her pride, and she took a very courageous step. She made her way to Jesus. I'm asking you today, Are you willing to do something courageous? In fact, I'm going to ask you to demonstrate that in just a few moments. Notice also it was the touch of healing. In verse 29, the Bible says, instantly her flow of blood ceased. She was healed. Now, there are several characteristics about healing. I don't have time to get into all of this in any depth. But the Bible says, in this circumstance, she was healed immediately. Now, that could happen. God is able to do that. And there are those who've experienced that. But sometimes that healing is a process, or it takes time. That healing can be just, it happens by God, or it happens through doctors, it happens through treatments, or whatever else. And some of you have been praying and you've not received that yet. Don't say, well, something's wrong if I've not experienced immediate healing. This was this individual woman's case. Your case is unique to you and to God and how He wants to work in your situation. But notice also that this healing was powerful. She experienced the power of God. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized in Himself that power had gone out from Him. Now, we describe this as omnipotent power. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Now, this is important because Jesus, when He was here, didn't have a certain level of reserve of divine power, and He had to kind of farm it out, you know, as He went so it wouldn't run out. Well, that's not how it worked, that He has always had power, and He's never lost any power. And so God is all-powerful. That means that God is always available to you, and He's always sufficient with the power that you need to help you in your circumstance. Notice also this healing was complete. Notice what He did to show that. He called her. All right? He called her out. She came to Him. And why did Jesus do that? He wanted her to know that her healing was complete, not just physically, but emotionally, socially, so that others would know what's going on with her, and spiritually. So she's now healthy. She has a new lease on life. And God wants you to experience His help and His power so that you can have a great future, a new day for you. Your touch can mean God's powerful, complete healing and help in your life. Notice also it was the touch of faith. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Your translation may say, "has healed you." Literally, the word should be translated, "you have been saved." Now, what you have here is a dual meaning. She stepped out in faith to experience that healing, that physical salvation. But as she reached out, it demonstrated that her faith had saved her. Her faith had made her well, not just physically, but spiritually. Remember, Jesus often in His miracles, the purpose of the miracle was not so much for the physical transformation, but for the spiritual transformation. God's trying to communicate, Jesus was trying to communicate spiritual truth through those that He healed. So what did it mean? Her touch meant a total surrender of her life to Christ. Her reaching out in faith, believing that He is who He claims to be, will change my life. And God wants you to take that step today as well, to reach out by faith and experience His salvation in your life. Notice also it was the touch of peace. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Go in peace." God wants you to experience peace in your heart, but also in your mind. God does not want you to be anxious, to live in fear. Remember, He told Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. That demoniac had a demonic spirit in him. God doesn't want you to have a spirit, an evil spirit of fear, overcome with fear. Now, you're not alone in that. You know, we all experience some level of depression or anxiety or fear. I do. We all do. But don't let that consume you. Don't let that identify you. You know, Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, and Martin Luther, the great reformer, both battled depression severely. But that didn't control them. It didn't identify them. They lived by faith. They stepped out in faith to accomplish God's purpose in their lives in the ministries that God called them to live so that they could experience His peace. And you can too. Notice also it was the touch of love. I love this verse. Verse 30. "Who touched my robes?" Think about that. Who touched my robes? Now, Luke says, Peter says this. Mark says the disciples said, hey, everybody's pressing in on you. It's like going to Best Buy on Black Friday. You know, I mean, everybody's just pressing, you know, knocking around each other, going to the mall. I did that one time. I went to a mall in Houston, Texas on Black Friday. It was the worst experience of my life. I mean, it was just cattle in a, you know, chute getting ready to go to auction. I mean, it was unbelievable. So all these people are pressing against Jesus. But there was something different about her touch. Now, what does that mean? It means Jesus knew that not just anybody, but one person touched her. He knew her. He knew everything about her. And he knew why she was reaching out. Now, let that encourage you. He sees your hand reaching up to him. He feels your heart of faith. He knows what's going on in your life. Your life has value right now. Not just before you're born or at the end of your life, but even right now. And he knows who you are. When you think nobody knows what's going on, listen, he does. Now the Bible says that he searched her out. Luke says that she couldn't go unnoticed, that she was, quote, discovered. She'd been found out. Now, this verse indicates that, again, he knew what had happened, and he knew who she was. And he called her out because he loved her. He wanted her and others to understand the full extent of her healing. He also wanted her to know that he knew her, and he knew about her need. And he wanted her to be free from any condemnation. Oh, there's that woman. Oh, we know about her. We know why she's in this situation. You see, she's experiencing this because she's a sinner. You ever heard that? Don't have enough faith? You're going through this because you don't have enough faith? No, you see, bad things happen to people all the time. It has nothing to do with your faith. Sometimes it can. If you're living in disobedience, then God may get our attention. But God's not a mean, cruel God. Don't ever forget that. He knows the person who is trying to live a life that honors him. He knows the person who's reaching out in a genuine way as she was. She may not have been an actual follower of Christ. Probably not, because somebody told her that she needed to get to Jesus. But she reaches out. And he wanted her to know that this woman has no condemnation. That she is well. And when you touch Christ, when you reach out to him in your heart with that step of faith, he is going to love you. It's not necessary for you to know everything about the church or about the Bible or about salvation or about God and the kingdom and all those things. All he's asking from you is genuine faith, sincere faith. Now, we struggle with that. And she did too, in several different ways. Why did she not approach Jesus directly? Have you thought about that with this story? Why didn't she just make her way through the crowd and get right up to him and say, Jesus, I need your help. I need your touch. Why didn't she do that? I think a couple of reasons. First of all, she had an ignorant faith. She thought that touching his robe would heal her. But she didn't know the full extent of his will. His knowledge, why she had been going through all of this for so long. She didn't understand everything, but God accepted her genuine faith. She had a selfish faith. Did you notice that she wanted the healing without a personal encounter with Christ? Hey, I want this part of it, but I don't want this part of it. And I think that's true for a lot of people. We want to experience this part of Christ, but not a full surrender of my life to him. Well, her need drove her to Christ. And when she fully surrendered, she experienced his love. You see, the problem is we get too focused on the circumstance, on the problem, rather than moving our eyes away and putting them on Jesus, for there is our help. She had a doubting faith. She didn't have complete faith in his power and love. She heard about him, but would he really help her? Would he heal her? She did not appeal to his heart. She didn't look him in the eye. She let him pass by. Notice. She let him pass by, wondering. And then at the last moment, she touched the tassel as he went by. There he is. I'm going to try to get close to him. I don't know. Is he really who he says he is? Man, I don't know. But maybe. And in that moment, with that hand of faith, she experienced the power of Almighty God. Jesus is here. He's passing by. Don't wait till it's too late. All he's asking is you have enough faith. Yes, I believe, but help my unbelief, as we'll see in Mark 9. And she touched him. You know, I believe there are some people here this morning who need to reach out and touch the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he's not here physically, but he's here. And I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and demonstrate that faith. In a moment when we sing this last song today, or next song actually, a song of response, I'm going to ask those of you who need to give your heart to Christ, the pastors will be here to receive you. There are those who need to become part of our fellowship, as a family did this morning. We invite you to come to one of us and we'll help you with that. But I believe that there are several in this room that you're going through something in your life and you need his help. And I'm going to ask you just to do something courageous. Maybe you've never done this. But when we begin to sing, that you just step out and come here and kneel at the front. And there may be several of you. Come to, as an individual, maybe as a family. And there are just some things that, boy, it's a way of saying, it's like fasting. It's a way of saying to God, we're really serious about this. And I'm asking you not to let this moment pass by you. Now, don't do it if God doesn't lead you to do it. But maybe there's something inside of you that you know we need God's help. So when we sing this next song, I'm going to ask you just to come and kneel here, get close to the front, and then stay here. I want to have a word of prayer for you when we close out that part of our response. Father, I thank you that you're an all-powerful God, first of all. You are God. We are not. Secondly, Father, I praise you that you have, as God, all power. You have the ability to help us at the point of our need. And to bring hope and to bring healing, wisdom, whatever it is that we're needing for ourselves or maybe for somebody else that we know. Father, I pray that you'll help these who need to make commitments now, as I mentioned, to give their heart to surrender, to finally come to that place of surrender. Lord, I need you to make that commitment of their life to you. For those who may be need to join our fellowship, to find a local body of believers where they can find encouragement as we all struggle together in our faith. But Father, perhaps many who need to come and just by their courageous step of faith that you see their heart of faith, and Lord, that you will bless them, you'll help them. Help us now as we follow the leading of your Spirit, these who need to make commitments. In Jesus' name, amen.